This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Red Sox and Yankees, Ali Frazier, the Celtics and the Lakers, those are among America's classic sports rivalries. But according to Ken Shulman, they have nothing on the world's biggest arch rivals, the India and Pakistan cricket teams. Ken's a journalist and founder and host of Away Games, a new television series and educational platform that looks at lives, conflicts, and cultures through the lens of sport. And the show's first episode, The World's Greatest Sports Rivalry, premieres tonight at 9 on New Hampshire Public Television. Ken Shulman, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. For this episode, you did travel to Delhi to document a match that's between India and Pakistan. First, a little bit about the significance of this match.
We have to remember that India and Pakistan are two nuclear powers that have fought four major wars and several minor skirmishes. We also have to remember that they were once the same country before 1947, before the British departed. There's history, there's rivalry, there's ethnic tension, and of course there's the religious tension between Hindus and Muslims.
This was the first match they'd played, what, in how long?
Bilateral cricket between the two countries was suspended after the Mumbai terror attacks in 2008, when the Indian intelligence discovered that the Pakistani military had involvement in the terror attacks in Mumbai. They closed down trade, they closed down visa regimes, and of course, in something that only the truly cricket mad can understand, they closed down bilateral cricket. When the countries want to start making nice again, and this happens periodically, one of the first things they do is they send their team for a cricket tour.
So it's like diplomacy?
It is called cricket diplomacy. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
So what was the scene like, the atmosphere, before this epic match?
This was a series. There were five matches across India. We filmed in Delhi. I attended matches elsewhere. I attended matches in Chennai, which used to be Madras, and I also attended matches in Kolkata. Most of the scenes were of great fraternity. You have to remember that in places like Punjab and places like Bengal, those regions were split, so you have Punjabi Pakistanis and you have Punjabi Indians, mm-hmm. who have more in common with each other than they do with people from other regions in their own country. So when they get together, you can't tell the Hindus from the Muslims. They look the same, they speak the same language, they eat the same food, they all watch the same movies. The scenes that I saw were scenes of, it was like a love fest.
Maybe there was fraternity on the scene, but getting there was really difficult. There was one Pakistani family you spoke to, it must have taken them a day to get there. Why?
Their journey from Lahore to Delhi, which if you could drive it, should take 4 hours, took over 24 hours. They had 10 hours at the border, then another 10 hours in Indian customs. The regimes are so tense, the relationships between the two countries are so tense that it's tough for Pakistanis to get into India. And when they go there, they have to stay in circumscribed zones. This particular family that we interviewed couldn't leave Delhi to see the Taj Mahal, and they were very distressed about that.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge undertaking for them to come. So what else is it? I mean, this is just love for cricket? What's at stake here?
Many Pakistanis are extremely curious about India. Cricket series are one of the few opportunities they have to go. There's a limited number of visas available, but they will rush up, they will line up to get them. And once they do, they'll go to extraordinary lengths to get in. A little bit of history here. 1947, the British withdrew from India and they partitioned it into a Muslim country called Pakistan and into a pluralistic country with a Hindu majority called India. And there were about 30 million people who migrated in those next 2 months. It was bloody, it was brutal. Over a million people died, and people are still feeling repercussions to that to this day. That's one of the reasons that the countries are still fighting.
Well, actually, what you found is that it's not just a Pakistani-Indian divide, but it's also a Hindu-Muslim divide. Is that something that people were open with you about?
I spoke with many Indian Muslims. One person in particular, a playwright named Samir Khan, who recalled a time in the late 1990s, he's from Pune, which is near Mumbai. He was watching an India-Pakistan match, which was played somewhere in the Gulf, I believe. No, it was played in Australia. And India won. He, as an Indian, went out to celebrate. And he got mugged by a group of Hindu nationalists who saw that he was Muslim and assumed that he was Pakistani. I spoke with another person who tried to go to a match in Delhi Stadium. And a policeman said to him, "What are you doing here? There's no Pakistani team. This is an Indian. He just happens to be a Muslim."
And in a similarly perilous state of fandom, this is a Fauzia Khan. She is your co-producer and someone who's accompanying you on this journey, remembering being in Pakistan, the sole fan for the Indian team.
The second Pakistani wicket, I got up and I cheered really loudly. The entire stand turned to look at me and there was a hush. And then I just sat down and two girls turned around and said, "Are you from India? Are you an Indian?" And I said, "Yes." And I was really scared at that point of time. And they smiled and they said, "Can you give us some Bollywood gossip? Are Amitabh Bachchan and Rekha really seeing each other?" And then we started talking, and then Cokes and chips were passed around, and there was a lot of banter, there was a lot of camaraderie between us.
There are two venues where Indians and Pakistanis can really bond. One is cricket, and the other is Bollywood. And here we have both. Mm-hmm. We have Fawzia Khan, who was born in Lucknow, which is a Muslim town in northern India. In the 90s, she went to visit cousins in Lahore that she had never met before. And she wanted to go to the stadium with them for the match. There was an India-Pakistan match at the time, and she wanted to make banners. And they said, "No, we'll disown you. We'll restrain you." But she ended up going. And when she says she cheered for Pakistani wicket, a wicket is when a team makes an out. It's a big deal. And she just reflexively stood up and cheered. And she was quite afraid. But all the people really wanted to know was the Bollywood gossip. And she had a great experience.
Well, you talk about the diplomatic history, but how about the history of cricket in India? I mean, this was a colonials game. Were people who were Indians even allowed to play?
In the origin, when the British first arrived, it was restricted just to the British. Strangely enough, the first group that started to play cricket that was not white Anglo were the Parsis. The Parsis are a Persian group that migrated to the area around Goa in about 900. After that, in Mumbai, various communal teams, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Parsis, and the Europeans, used to play in a tournament called the Quadrangular. It was a big deal. Cricket for Indians was one way that they could prove that they were just as good as their colonial masters. But there's another upward mobility story here. In the early 20th century, there was a man named Palwankar Ballu. Ballu was a Dalit, otherwise known as an untouchable. He found a job in Pune, tending a cricket pitch, and it turned out he was a really good bowler, a pitcher. And the Europeans used to give him an extra nickel to pitch them batting practice. This man was Hindu, but he was untouchable. When the Hindu team had to play the Muslim team in Mumbai, the Hindus did not want him because he was an untouchable. The Europeans intervened. They got him on the team and he ended up becoming one of the greatest bowlers in Indian history.
I mean, we do often hear when the Olympics are happening, you know, the sports transcend all boundaries or ideologies. Is that the case with cricket in India and Pakistan?
It can be. I mean, sport is a reflection of society. Society has its positive points and it's got its bumps. And there have been India-Pakistan matches that have been suspended because the crowd's been throwing objects at the players. There have been riots. I don't think anyone's been killed at a cricket riot in India, but I'm not sure about that. However, sport, in my mind, and this is sort of the point of away games, for us, sport is a lingua franca. It is the universal language. It's the one thing that really cuts across class, nationality, gender, politics, and even language, even more than food, even more than literature, even more than film, because everyone does it in the same way. The guy who plays soccer at Phillips Exeter Academy has the exact same rules that the guy who's playing in a favela in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Mm-hmm. They're playing the same match, and they have the same expectations. You and I who watch the match, if I watch it in Australia and you watch it in Boston, we're still seeing the same match. I don't think that's true about any other human pursuit.
How about the sport of cricket in particular, though? I mean, is there something about it that lends itself to this rival narrative?
I think in this particular case between India and Pakistan, the lingering hostility, the lingering shame of colonialism, the idea that even the original sin of partition is due to having been colonized, comes out of the same spirit that drives the people to play cricket. They play cricket because they want to prove that they were good Englishmen and that they're better than Englishmen. They took the colonial sport and they made it their own, and they're now some of the best in the world. Very interesting point. We had cricket in the United States too. We also had the British in the United States, but our period of colonialism was a lot shorter and a lot less oppressive. And because of that, we were probably freer to take that game. We didn't have anything to prove that we were as good as the British on the sporting field. So we took their cricket, we then made it into a game called rounders, and we then made it into a game called baseball. We were free to do that. The Indians didn't have that freedom. They had the British in their house for 200-300 years. And as I said, the occupation was much more oppressive. The colonial regime was much more onerous there. They had something to prove, and they stuck with cricket.
You did watch this match between India and Pakistan. in A House Divided, a marriage between an Indian man and a Pakistani woman. Let's take just a little quick listen of that game.
He's from Delhi. She's from Lahore, in Pakistan. On most days, it's not a problem. But today's not most days.
The pitch has bowlers.
Do you think this marriage can survive with cricket?
No.
That is a long pause.
Right.
What was going on there?
We were very fortunate to find this family. There's not that many. They're actually distant cousins. She's from Lahore. He's from Delhi. The husband and their two children are Indian citizens. She's a Pakistani national. And on most days, they get along fine. When India plays Pakistan, it's sort of like someone from Brooklyn marrying someone from Brookline. And it's all in good fun, and they eat the same food, but they stand on opposite sides of the room, and they root for different teams.
Yeah, and the kids are rooting for India. I think it kind of stings her a little bit.
It does, but she takes it in good spirit. And towards the end of the episode, she sort of gives her marriage a second thought. Maybe it will work out, even despite the cricket rivalry.
It is the opinion of some of the ladies that you speak to that the Pakistani team is better looking than the Indian team. Is one team actually better than the other in this rivalry?
It depends. Pakistan has a slight edge in these teams have been meeting since, I think they first met bilaterally in 1952. Partition happened in 47. There were a few problems to work out before they could even meet on the cricket field. But like with any sports team, there are cycles. And the Indian team will have a cycle where they're very strong. The Pakistani team will have a cycle where they're very strong. But my opinion, again, looking at the photos, the Pakistani men are better looking.
Well, Ken Shulman, we finally settled that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I'm glad we got that out into the open.
Ken Shulman, he's a journalist and founder and host of the television series Away Games. You can catch its first episode, The World's Greatest Rivalry, tonight at 9 on New Hampshire Public Television. You'll find more about it on our website, wordofmouthradio.org.